Well, good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a vision for you big book study. My name is Jen A. I'm here in Colorado and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you, God. Today is Wednesday, May 28th, 2025. It's 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, and today we're reading from the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We're in the chapter number 7, titled Working with Others. We're on page 100 in that second paragraph. It begins with, when working with a man, through one paragraph ending with the blessed fact of his sobriety. We're just going to comment on that one paragraph today. Today's readers on Team Wednesday are the following. 12 Steps is Stephanie R. 12 Traditions is Jen P. Our readers of the text are Penny C. Closing reader is Patrick O. Our backup reader is Nancy P. Newcomer reader is Reba P. And our second hour moderator is Jeannie B. The reference numbers for yesterday, which was Tuesday, May 27, 2025, are the following. The 7 a.m. Eastern Standard recording number is 22,468. That's 22468. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time recording number is 22,469. That's 22469. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting or accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. OA's fifth tradition states that each group has but one primary purpose. That's to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. So here at A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Stephanie R. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Jen. Good morning, family. Stephanie R. calling from Missouri. Here are our 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, make direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
I will now ask Jen P. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Jen. Thank you for your service. This is Jen P., recovering compulsive overeater in New Jersey. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise. Lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you so much, Stephanie R. and Jen P. This is how the meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and the literature that we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. So to share, press star 1 to unmute, and once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone again. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study in the chapter Working with Others. In the Big Book, on page 100, we're reading that second paragraph. I will ask Penny C. to begin reading.
Good morning, Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. When working with a man and his family, you should take care not to participate in their quarrels. You may spoil your chance of being helpful if you do, but urge upon a man's family that he has been a very sick person and should be treated accordingly. You should warn against arousing resentment or jealousy. You should point out that his defects of character are not going to disappear overnight. Show them that he has entered upon a period of growth. Ask them to remember, when they are impatient, the blessed fact of his sobriety. It's a bit difficult for me to relate to this in OA. For some reason, it seems that in Overeaters Anonymous, most people keep the names or the identity of their sponsors a secret for some reason. Yet I know that I've attended open AA meetings and people I know from my Al-Anon experience, they are very open about who the sponsors are. Okay. I don't know why it's come
sorry,
to
pass. Sorry, Penny. Let me go ahead and – I'm sorry. Sorry for the interruption. Let's go ahead and get the lines muted on the dashboard, and then we can continue.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny. Go right ahead, Penny.
Okay. And – yes, yeah, so I don't know why that and it never used to, when I first came to OA years ago, it wasn't quite so secretive. In fact, when my sister came to OA about 6 months after I came, her sponsor came over to her house and said, we're going to show you how you're going to cook from now on, and met the family and knew all of them. So I don't know why, but that's probably it's a good thing. I don't know, but today I keep anonymous who my sponsees are, who my sponsor is, to go along with everyone else. So the bottom line is that, you know, there's no hard rule. So I leave it up to my sponsees to practice their anonymity within their own family, even, or to tell them who their sponsor is. The bottom line always is that I trust and rely on God, and I'll pass.
Charles H., whenever the moderator comes back on. Charles H., whenever the moderator comes back on.
Jen, star one, babe.
Hi, this is Katie G. I can start taking a name, the names of people who want to share until Jen gets back on. Who would like to share this morning?
Yeah, Charles H.
Charles, I got you.
Reva P.
Reva.
Hi, this is Jen A. Can I be heard?
You can now, Jen. We have Charles and Reva P. Reva P.
Okay. Thank you, Katie. All right. So I have Charles H. and Reva P. Is there anyone else who would like to share?
Amy M.C.
Nancy P.
Amy.
Christina
Amy
L.
M.C. Nancy. And Christina.
All right. That's a good lineup. We have Charles H., Reva P., Amy M.C., Nancy P., and Christina L. Just let me know if you're losing again. Sorry about that. All right. So, Charles, go right ahead.
Thank you, Mama Bear. And it's great to hear you moderating. Thank you very much for your service. Yeah, I hate that question, but can you hear me?
Oh, my goodness. Technology. Dude, I'm totally powerless over it this morning. So.
Can I be heard?
Okay, go
I hate
ahead.
To
Charles,
ask that question.
We'll figure out the technology.
All right.
Sure.
Yeah. Can you hear me, though, Jen? I hate that question, but can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
Oh, okay. All right, great. So I'm not going to waste any time saying my name because it's been said too much. But so for me, the text is talking about, you know, for me, right, unsolicited advice is deemed as criticism. And it's talking about don't get in people's personal business. The steps will take care of all of that. Like, I mean, I'm not as sensitive as I used to be. Like, a lot of foolishness used to bother me, but you know, as it was mentioned, you know, going into Al-Anon really right-sized a lot of my crooked thoughts. Why and oh my God and you know, because you know, respectfully, I don't trust a lot of people, and that for me that's discernment. And I think the big book is so it reminds me of Tradition 6. Well, it just reminds me of Tradition 6, like, not the money piece, but as far as like, hey, we're here to just carry the message to another compulsive overeater. I'm not here to fix your marriage, you know, because mine's ain't fixed, right? Like, I'm not here to direct you in philosophies and tell you about how to get a great career. I'm not here for that. The steps for me is the solution to every problem solved. So I think the text is really talking about, hey, let's get to the root problem, which is my addiction. And I do have more addiction than food. I have an addictive personality, and the text knows that. So I don't want. I'm not here to give any unsolicited advice to anybody, because that's for me. That's being overcritical, and that's one of my major defects, right? And God has right-sized that. I don't like you enough to hate you. That means I treat everybody equal. And with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Charles H. from New York. Up next, we have Reva P., followed by Amy M.C. Go right ahead, Reva.
Good morning. This is Reva P., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Toronto. You know, my sponsor never had direct contact with my family members, and I haven't had a lot of direct contact with my sponsee's family members. But how I relate to this is not participating in their quarrels. You know, I can almost smile to myself and have a sense of humor about it, but there are times where I'm sort of sharing a step 10, but what I really want is my sponsor to tell me that I'm right, and usually it's my husband that he's wrong, and I want her to participate and be on my side and prove, how wrong the other person was. And I am so grateful that that's not the power of example that I've experienced, that the whole point of doing this work is to see where I'm at fault and where are my shortcomings, and to not get into the quarrel part. And it's, you know, do I want to be right? Do I want to be happy kind of thing? It's not even about who's right. So I'm so grateful that that's been the demonstration I've had, and I don't get into other people's stuff. I'm not a marriage counselor. That's not the purpose. The purpose is to stay close to the step work. And then this last part in the paragraph, you know, just brings humility, because I can say I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, but you know what? There's still a long period of reconstruction. And I still behave in ways that I'm not so proud of, with the people closest to me. And it's just, for me, a great reminder that defects of character don't disappear overnight, however long that, you know, definition of night is. Some things go really quickly and some things just are slow plodding along. And that this is about growth and change. I was told early on, you know, sometimes it's not about black and white, like I have a defect and then it's gone. It's like, is it reduced in intensity, frequency, and duration? And as long as there's improvement and I can see some growth and change, or people around me can acknowledge that there has been change, to be grateful, and to never underestimate the blessing of my abstinence, and to not take that for granted. And I think that's it. With that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Reva P. Up next, we have Amy M.C., followed by Nancy P. Good morning, Amy. Where are you calling from today?
Good morning. This is Amy M.C., calling from Massachusetts. Thank you to everyone doing service, and welcome to newcomers and any returning members. And, yeah, you know, what stands out to me regarding this passage, a lot of it has already been said, and, you know, it's the idea of staying in my hula hoop, right? Yes, reaching out to others, but no, not getting so involved that I am forcing my opinion and my thoughts regarding their situation. All I can do is share my experience, strength, and hope. And, you know, it's funny, I joke with my family about, like, oh, no, that's not my circus, you know, and even friends. In and out of the room. Like, I want to worry about my people, places, and things. And even then, I can't worry about it, right? Like, I have been taught in this program how to let go and let God. And so when people come to me and, you know, they're having a hard time with their family members, or somebody's coming to me who knows I'm in recovery, maybe doesn't understand the whole food thing, but knows that I work a 12-step program, and, you know, want me to talk to a loved one, or if I'm talking to a sponsee or somebody in a 12-step program, and their family member just doesn't understand, you know, again, I get to share my experience, strength, and hope. But the difference is, as a recovered person, is I'm not owning it. And that's where my saying of not my circus comes into play, and it's outside of my hula hoop, because, you know, I used to, and I still trip up. This is one of my biggest character defects, and I've been dealing with this right now with a work scenario. But my job is not to own other people's problems. My job is to, you know, take care of my side of the street. You know, this is an amends thing. This is where, for me, it is a living amends to myself, to not get involved with other people's problems and to stay on my side of the street. So, you know, when I'm exchanging 10 steps or when I'm just talking with friends in program, you know, I want to listen. I want to actively be listening to what they want, you know, what they have to share regarding a 10th step or regarding a family member. And then I get to say, okay, and but for the grace of God, there I go, there you go. And, you know, how are you going to be of service? And how am I going to be of service? Because, you know, I can't keep what I have if I'm not giving it away. And so I need to be of service. And yes, maybe I'm not talking to the family members, but I am sharing my experience, strength, and hope. And sometimes it relates and sometimes it doesn't. But I get to listen, which isn't thinking about what I'm going to say next and isn't, you know, forcing my opinion on others. It is being that listening ear and reminding others to invite God in and, you know, what comes up for you when you're sharing this. Thank you for that. So I am grateful to be here, and I'm so blessed to be in this program of recovery. With that, I pass.
Thanks, Amy MC from Massachusetts. Up next, we have Nancy P, followed by Christina L. Go ahead, Nancy.
Hey, Jen. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Nancy P, recovered in West Newton, Massachusetts. So in listening to everybody, I thought, it's true. I need to keep my mouth shut and my eyes on my feet, and that's it, to make sure that they're moving forward. And, you know, I have an awesome life. I have a nice family. I live in a nice house. I live in a nice town. My husband loves me. My kids are grown, if not launched. One is, one isn't. And but I can find ways to be unhappy and dissatisfied. And the one thing that stays with me is the blessed fact of my sobriety. Because does anybody remember what their lives were like when they were eating? I mean, do we all remember when we were either eating, restricting, binging, and purging, whatever we do? And worse than that, even when I wasn't doing those things, when my mind reacted as though I were, because I wasn't recovered, because I had no spiritual wakefulness. And, you know, I love this chapter so much because the title says it all, working with others. That is the most effective thing that I do of anything that I do, is reaching out to other people. You know, I speak when asked, I sponsor, whatever. You know, I do whatever I can do. And, you know, I talk about this often because it was so tectonic in my life when my daughter was self-harming. I didn't think I was ever going to get better, that she was ever going to get better. I thought she was going to die. I thought I was going to die. I thought my marriage was going to end. I mean, leave it to me to think of the worst possible thing. And yet, I got better, and she got better. And no one died, and marriage is intact, and all that. And you know, whenever, like, nobody cares. I say this too. Nobody cares what I think. Nobody does what I say. Nobody. And yet I'm still happy as a clam because I know who I am and I know who I'm not. Now, my sponsor was not nurturing. She was kind of like reptilian, you know, have your young and then leave them to themselves. she was there for one reason and one reason only, to guide me through these steps. And no matter how tempting my problems were or would have been to me, she didn't bite. She always said, get close, get quiet, whatever, you know, that type of thing. And she instilled in me this need to take care of my spiritual wakefulness. Like, I don't want to be dozing off at the wheel when I'm, you know, progressing in my life. And none of my character defects are gone. They're all asleep, like Sleeping Beauty. All they need is a kiss to wake up. And they can come roaring back into my life. And yet, even no matter what happens, I got better in the middle of that horrific time when my girl was hacking herself up with a razor blade and burning herself to a crisp and hospitalized and all of that and begging me to come get her.
Can I please?
Anybody can get better no matter the circumstances, no matter what. And I'm here to say so. So with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Nancy P. Up next, we have Christina L., and then we'll be taking another list of names after Christina.
Okay. Good morning. This is Christina L., recovered compulsive overeater in Florida. Thank you. Oh, man, that lead share was really good, and everybody's shares have been really good. I'm just really grateful. When I think about when I read this paragraph, this has not been my experience. I've never had a sponsor who, you know, has met my husband or any other member of my family, and I have not been a part of anybody else's. I have had friends, or fellows, I should say, that have become friends in program, and while I didn't have any contact with their family members or anything, you know, I was definitely taking the side of their case for the most part, I think. But anyway, what this paragraph really does remind me of is it makes me think of my own family, and it almost makes me think of, like, you know, where am I at with this? It's a reminder to me that I'm a very sick person, that my own husband, he may think that just because I'm not eating my binge and trigger foods anymore and that I'm easier to live with, that everything is fine now and that we're going to live happily ever after. But page 83 says that there is a long period of reconstruction ahead and that I must take the lead. And I need to be reminded of that every single day, because it is easy for me to start thinking like I am speculating that my husband is thinking that, you know, everything's fine now, because that's always what has led me back to my relapses. And that's what More About Alcoholism talks about, too, and stuff. And but it also makes me remember back when we read a few weeks ago. I don't remember where it's at, but it was something mentioned where sharing about the new principles about which I am now living. And I remember when I heard that, like, that was not something that I've ever done. And ever since, like, that's just really been on my mind, you know, that, you know, maybe it's time that I do share with my husband, like, that these are the principles that I'm following and this is what I'm doing. Because a lot of the times, you know, my husband will, you know, he'll come to me about things about our son and stuff that he'll want to talk about, or anything, you know, politics, whatever the heck it is and stuff like that. And, you know, then I get resentful because I'm not being honest, like, you know, that I can't be in conversations like that anymore. Obviously about our son, because, you know, we're trying to get him to fly the nest at some point. But right now, you know, there's a lot of communication that needs to happen with what is going on with him. And I'm trying to think. I thought there was something else that was coming in my head, but now I can't remember what it was. The other thing was, I don't know how much time I have, so we'll see where I go. But
time, please.
The other thing. Oh, there we go. Thanks, Jen. I'll pass with that. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Christina L. from Florida. Perfect timing.
All right. Well, we're reading today in the chapter Working with Others in the Big Book on page 100. It begins with, when working with a man, we're reading through one paragraph ending with the blessed fact of his sobriety. We're commenting on that one paragraph. We value everyone's experience today. We ask that you limit your share and share the air every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share? Give me your first name and the first initial of your last name.
Pedro B.
Thanks, Pedro.
Ken W.H.
in California.
Ken W.H. And somebody in California, I didn't catch ya.
C.K. in California.
Did you say C.K.?
C.K.
Thank you.
We have plenty of time on the clock if you want to press star 1 to unmute your phone and share.
Laura L. from Connecticut.
Thanks, Laura.
Thanks.
All right, well, let's keep going with this list. Pedro, Ken, CK, and Laura. Pedro, B, go ahead.
Good morning. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Loud and clear.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. My name is Pedro. I am a compulsive overeater. The one thing that stood out for me this morning is this idea that where it says, but urge upon a man's family that he has been a very sick person and should be treated accordingly. And it just reminds me how sick I am. See, I am a sick person. To be an addict, to be addicted to certain stuff, it's something that, you know, I am always going to be an addict. I am always going to be addicted to sugar and flour. You know what I mean? Just because I'm not compulsive overeating today doesn't mean that I'm not addicted to those substances. You know, and then the other thing that stood out for me is this idea of being helpful. This is what I need to try to be helpful to myself and try to be helpful to other people. You know, working with others, that is not only working with other, you know, in the program, but also working with other at work, working with others in the family. It's all working with others. You know, I can't go up to a mountain and be, you know, happy by myself. You know, this idea that, you know, we are here to do God's will, right? That we are here to help God's people, you know. But anyways, that reminds me, you know, that I am a very sick person and that I need to continue working this program to continue working on my sickness. Thanks for letting me share.
Well, thank you so much, Pedro B. from California. Up next, we have Ken W.H. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. This is Ken W.H., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. I have to take this paragraph from the first sentence and realize that I can't speak to this a whole lot. It says, when working with a man and his family, what a condition. It assumes I'm working with a family as well. I have never, and am not now, working with a family of a compulsive eater. That just doesn't seem to be the way of things these days. In fact, I know very little about others, the people I'm trying to help, about their family, except for what I hear from the compulsive eater. And often, I hear excuses, and I've done it too. Mom liked you best, or the devil made me do it, or it's my wife, my spouse, just giving me a hard time all the time, da-da-da-da-da-da. And if I hear that all the time when I'm talking to a friend, I do offer a suggestion that they perhaps seek professional help to deal with their marital issues. I'm not a counselor, and I don't. I do not get into the triangulate myself into a quarrel. But if I keep hearing over and over and over again the same problems in the household that are keeping someone from being abstinent, I recommend some professional help for those issues. I don't suggest to the family that they do anything because they don't want to hear from me either, to be honest with you. You're on his side or her side. I need to be real careful with that. I just need to listen and share my experience, strength, and hope, and keep focus on the steps and keep focus on the person I'm talking to, their progress, their focus, and keep that focused on recovery. Their home issues need to be taken care of by someone who's better qualified to do so. And that's all I have to share. Thanks for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Ken W.H. All right. Up next, we have CK from California. Go ahead, CK.
Thank you so much. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Thank you. Okay, this is CK in California. I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm an adult child. I'm a codependent, and I'm a love and validation addict. And just want to say thank you to everybody doing service. You know, this paragraph, you know, makes me think of myself, and it makes me think of other fellows in the program. You know, today I have 227 days, which I've never had this many days in program. And so grateful for this program and for these meetings. And this deep dive into this chapter this month has, I mean, it's just been incredible. And I was only able to get this many days because of a deep surrender. But I have to remember, I'm a very sick person. I'm a very sick person. And I should be treated accordingly. I should treat myself accordingly that way. You know, I should be, I should warn myself against resentment towards myself. And, you know, remind myself that my defects of character are not going to disappear overnight. I'm in a period of growth, and I can see myself growing. I can see myself changing, you know, not just physically. In this 227 days, I became a 100-pounder. Like, amazing, amazing, amazing things are happening to me physically, but also in my personality as well. And I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful for this program. And this also makes me think about my fellows. You know, I have to remember, we are all sick people, and I need to be patient with people. You know, I need to be kind and tolerant because, you know, it says on 152, on 153, you know, I'm giving up the food for a fellowship. You know, these are going to be my lifelong friends. We're going to escape disaster together, you know. And so I have to remember, you know, that these people, you know, they're sick, you know, especially so-called recovered compulsive overeaters. They're still sick. You know, they're still sick. Their defects of character are still there. Like somebody said, they're just asleep. And, you know, I have to remember they're in a period of growth too. And I got to be patient. Oh, I got to be patient with myself and with my fellows and with everybody I encounter. And I'm just so incredibly thankful and grateful for these reminders, because I'm a sick person. I'm judgmental. You know, I want to harp on mistakes and, you know, all the things. And it's just, no. You know, no, that's not what my higher power wants. My higher power wants me to be kind and make tolerance, love and tolerance my code. And so, yes, with that, yeah, I just have to keep this in mind for myself and when I'm thinking about other people. And with the grace of God, I can show my higher power that I am in recovery and respond to life with recovery and not with self-will. So with that, I pass. Thank you so much. Peace.
Thank you, CK from California. Up next, we have Laura L. from Connecticut, and then we'll have time for a few more shares. Good morning, Laura.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Thank you, moderator, and for your service and everybody for your shares today. They've been really helpful. What this paragraph made me think about was just the role of a sponsor and how we're guides and not therapists, or not trying to, and other people have said that similar, but just trying not to control the outcomes, not feeling responsible for the other type of sponsees. Feelings or actions, or whether they abstain or not, or work the steps, or not, you know what I mean. Obviously, work the steps, but work the steps in the way we expect them to. So, yeah, in terms of and then also how we are still sick people, and we bring our character defects into our sponsoring as we bring them into our everyday life. We're constantly asking God to remove them, and constantly doing the footwork to make that happen. But some of them are still there, and they will be triggered sometimes in one-on-one situations or more intimate situations. So, I have to keep reminding myself that I do make amends to my sponsees when, you know, I overreach, or when I, you know, insert myself where it shouldn't be, or I shouldn't be, or say things that I shouldn't be saying that are more like therapeutic or advice giving. And so it's reining myself in and reminding me of my role, and just to be patient, loving, compassionate, and also hold the person accountable as well. But so those were some of my thoughts. And I love to sponsor, and I love hearing, you know, obviously not talking about the family is rare, because a lot of times that the family is, our, depending on our situation, is a good deal of our life. So I listen and everything, but don't try to give, I don't give advice, and just share my experience, strength, and hope. And sort of gently keep them to the trajectory that we're going on and working the steps. And usually it's in steps 4 through 9 that a lot comes out about the family. And that's of course fantastic. And that's where a lot of the work gets done, so the person can grow spiritually and move closer to a spiritual awakening. So thank you all. Those are my thoughts on this. Have a good day.
Thank you so much, Laura L. from Connecticut. All right, so we have a little more time on the clock for folks to share. We're on page 100, the second paragraph. You're going to give me your first name and first initial of your last name. Press star 1.
Hello, this is Sue P. from Maryland.
Sue P. Who else?
Susan A. from Delaware.
Susan A. All right,
Natalie,
go right ahead. Oh, sorry, Natalie, go. We'll see if we get you.
That's okay. Thanks for catching
Natalie
me. I wasn't sure.
Okay. So Sue P. and go right ahead, Sue P.
Hello, everyone. Thank you. This is Sue P. from Maryland. Just wanted to say, and I hope this is okay, I get very nervous to share. This also gets real basic, and I could be taking it out of context because I'm just reading that paragraph. Anonymity. If I'm working with somebody, that's who I'm working with. I'm not their sponsor. I'm his sponsor or her sponsor. And it gets real touchy. This has to do with boundaries. And so much of this program, to me, is about boundaries. I remember I was somewhere one time, and somebody yelled out in a crowd, "Hey, didn't I see you at that OA meeting?" See, and it's not like they meant anything. Who knows? But that's a boundary. That's my anonymity you're playing with. It may not mean much to some people. It does to me. So, you know, this is so much to learn, and how many times I've heard of a spouse calling somebody sponsor, and let me tell you, blah, blah, because they wanted information, who knows, the family, this is a family illness. Did I say that out loud? Certainly. They have their own issues, So, you know, there's so much to learn here, and it really, come right down, it's real simple. It's about anonymity. I can't break. Now, if he or she introduces me to the family, well, that's lovely, but I still don't get into his stuff with them. But if he hasn't, you know, you get part, it's part of the illness, not the recovery, when we get caught up in that. And that, then we have to deal with our own egos of why did I want to do that and tell her this or them that, or when I'm working with him or I'm working with her, I'm just working with one person. That's who I'm sponsoring. So anyway, just wanted to share that, and good to be here. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Supi from Maryland. Up next, we have Susan A., who's calling in from Delaware. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, everyone. It's Susan A. from Delaware, a recovered compulsive overeater. So grateful that we're right where we are, and it's so amazing how God gives me exactly what I need. I was writing out a 10th step this morning as I got on the meeting. I'm on a 10th step train and have a call with someone. You know, working with others, you know, my sponsee, you know, I don't have to speak with her family, but I take this to, you know, it's working with everybody. It's working with the people that I work with. It's working with the people that I come in contact with. And all I can do is share my experience, strength, and hope. I'm in a situation right now, I work with seniors, and, you know, the family dynamics, when you see the mother, the daughter, you know, the son, it's incredible to watch from the outside when you become recovered, the dysfunction, you know, and how I can relate to that dysfunction because I have experience, and all I have is my experience, strength, and hope. I've got a senior and a mother who are just at each other's constantly, you know, and the senior doesn't have much longer to live. And I had that same experience with my mom. And, you know, being in recovery today, I get to stay in my lane. You know, my character defects crop up right away. And I want to say, you know, you need to be nicer. Your daughter shouldn't treat you. And, you know, the reality is, I have to keep my mouth closed. I have to listen. And love and tolerance is our code. The only thing I can do is kindly share my experience, strength, and hope with each of them, the mother and the daughter, and keep my mouth shut. God's got plans for them, and I'm not God. As much as I, you know, I want to jump in there and say, you know, your mom doesn't have much more time. I've had this, you know, this is such a learning. This program is teaching me so much about working with others, about staying in my lane, as someone said, staying in my hula hoop, you know. My job is not to fix others anymore. My job is to work on me, to be love and tolerant of other people, to listen, and just to show up and be present. And that's all I have. Thank you for the time, and I will leave time for others. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Susan A. from Delaware. All right, up next we have Natalie. Natalie, where are you calling in from this morning, please?
I'm calling from Indiana, Jen.
Thanks.
Yeah, so thanks for letting me share. This is Natalie S., compulsive overeater living in recovery. For this moment today, thanks to God, and I'm in Indiana. So I appreciate all the shares and understand that this paragraph was determined or written because the situation was different when the book was written. And I'm grateful that now I can consider what it means in light of today's world and who I am with my higher power. And the only reason I know that is because that's what a sponsor has taught me. And as I consider these things, I was reminded of and it sets up an ideal for me, as has been shared, you know, how I work with others doesn't, yes, primarily in this book, how I work with other compulsive overeaters. For me, it's how I show up in life differently, and that's been a process of learning. I'm reminded of the time I was a single mom, newly divorced, and my children were 6, 8, 9, 10, and 12, and it was total chaos. It was even probably more chaos when they were, you know, when my youngest was 0 and my oldest was 5, right? That's a different kind of chaos. But I was always put in the position of being the director and trying to figure out who was wrong, who was right. Moms, well, they did this, they did that. And thank God at one point I said, you know, you two need to go sit over there, or 3 or 4, however many, and you need to figure this out. And I have to remember that today. Now, I didn't do a very good job at that point. You know, I could have offered more guidance, which this book helps to, you know, educate me on, is that I could have offered more guidance because they were young. But as an ideal, if I'm looking for sponsees that want what I have, then, yeah, my life can be total chaos. I've got relationship issues between one daughter, my sister, my mom, my other daughter. It's all chaos. And, I mean, right now. And I was so grateful to be able to tell them, you know, I'm sorry that this is going on, and I really mean that. And I'm so glad that I don't have a stake in this. And they aren't quite ready for me to tell them that I'll pray for them, but I can show up differently, and then I'm received differently. And the gift on the other side of that for me is my oldest daughter has had a real tough time, and now she's calling me again. And she said, you know, Mom, you're the only person in this entire family that I can come to now, and I know you're not going to go spreading whatever I say to everybody else. And when you offer your opinion or you ask if you can give it, I'm the one who makes the decision. And what a gift that is, right? To have a relationship based on freedom to love, freedom not to love, freedom to go, freedom to hate, freedom. That's what I crave. And so I just, with God's help every day, try to live that ideal in my life. And when I fall, you know, grateful for the steps, as everyone has shared, to get me back on track and point me back to what my higher power is calling me to be in this moment for a sponsee, for a family member, for a worker. So thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Natalie. Perfect timing. That's Natalie F. from Indiana. And we do have time for one more share. Is there anyone else that would like to pitch today?
Alexis F.
Go ahead, Alexis.
I'm of the opinion that we shouldn't talk with the family. There's a great difference between alcoholism and compulsive overeating. Alcoholism doesn't bring the destruction that compulsive overeating does. Being inebriated is not the same as being dulled of mind by food. I get heavy. I was a compulsive overeater from birth. I was a very fat baby and couldn't walk till I was 18 months old. But I didn't start eating again until after I got married. And that was when my husband and my children started school. My husband didn't get home until all hours of the morning, and my kids started school, and I was never alone in my life. So I started compulsive overeating again. And gained 60 pounds in 60 days after I left OA. As far as working with others, I don't feel we have the right to go into their, we're not qualified to go into family business and set it right. The only thing we're qualified with is our own story, our own experience. I talk about myself when I have a sponsee, and I would really like to have a sponsee. It's one of the reasons that I'm talking today. As far as having a sponsee,
time, please.
Thank you.
Alexis, can you tell us where you're calling from today, please?
New Jersey, East Coast time.
All right. Thank you. So it's Alexis F. from New Jersey. Thanks for taking us out today. We appreciate you. And thank you to everyone who shared, or if you just showed up on the line to listen today, you're important too. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. That's going to be on the same paragraph that we read this morning. The share ID for today is the following: for Wednesday, May 28th, 2025, 7 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Recording is 22,471. That's 22471. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Patrick O. please read A Vision for You?
Hello, this is Patrick, compulsive eater from Tennessee. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come, if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and for countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in this fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.